Good morning and welcome to the second hour of the Bible study here on listener-supported KFUO Radio. It's the Ask the Pastor Hour. KFUO Radio is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thank you for being with us. Thank you again for Pastor Charles Hendrickson's time during the last hour as we went through Exodus chapter 32, the verses immediately following the incident with the golden calf. But now we go on to other things. No golden calves here, I think. We don't build idols anymore. Or do we? Joining us is our good friend Pastor Larry Troxell from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Bowen, Illinois. Thanks for your time this morning. Thanks for being on the phone with us. You've got, what, a whole house full of grandkids running around, don't you?
We have three.
Three?
And three of our grandkids are here. Their parents are trying to get moved in and settled into their townhouse on the seminary campus.
That's right. We were hoping that maybe we'd get a chance to see you in studio again today, but that's important work. You can't have those guys underfoot as you're trying to get stuff done.
When Grandma says all hands on deck, it's all hands on deck.
All hands on deck.
And we're having a lot of fun with them.
So what's on
your... But, you know, they're 7, 3, and 1, so they are active.
7, 3, and 1?
Yes.
Well, you know, have you noticed that the First Lady of the United States is absolutely obsessed with your grandkids?
Oh, really?
And what they eat, and if they exercise. And now there's even a story here from the Washington Examiner, that our First Lady, Michelle Obama, says kids should not be watching television.
Oh. Well.
You don't seem impressed.
You know, I still hold out for individual liberty in this country.
Really?
On the one hand, my wife, being not only a good grandma, but a good registered nurse, makes sure that we all have very healthy meals. And the kids are eating very properly and very well.
Now, how is it possible that your wife, who is a mere registered nurse, can decide these things without the help of the government?
She had an excellent education in Des Moines, Iowa, at a school of nursing there, and has done continuing ed, and she has had, I think, more nutritional training than most people in the United States government.
Well,
we're not going to go any further than that.
Well, no, I'm trying to drag you into a discussion about the kingdom of the left and the kingdom of the right.
Oh, that's fine.
Because there seems to be, in the wake of certain Supreme Court decisions and other things going on in our country, a real distinct impression left that if the government doesn't tell you how, you're probably not capable of doing it. And I wonder if that, you know, when you look at the Health and Human Services mandate and now this Supreme Court ruling yesterday about the what's euphemistically called Obamacare, you know, this is going to start applying to theology as well. Look at the Health and Human Services. Who are you, a church body with standards in theology, to tell us, the government, what you shall and shall not do?
Well, we happen to take a very scriptural position. And the scriptural position, number one, requires us to give proper honor and respect and proper obedience to the government. Because the kingdom on the left, the secular government, operates on the basis of reason and on the basis of the law, and that government, whether it realizes it or not, has received its governing authority from God. And that's in Romans chapter 13, first couple of verses. But when the government directs us to do something that Scripture forbids, then we go to Acts chapter 5, where Peter and the apostles said to the governing authorities in Jerusalem, we must obey God rather than man. And so, while the kingdom on the left has certain authority and responsibility, and deserves proper respect and obedience, our supreme authority, our supreme honor goes to, our supreme respect goes to the living God, who is the creator of heaven and earth and all governments, no matter what their stripe, and to him belongs our supreme obedience. And we have an even greater reason than the creation of government by God for that supreme obedience. It was not the government who laid down its life for us to rescue us from an eternity of separation from God. It was God's own Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, who died for us and rose again. And to him belongs our most supreme obedience and gratitude.
You know, what I wanted to parallel this story about the First Lady with is, yeah, is maybe discussion about just how well the government is doing at figuring out these things that might be called social policy. And here's what the opening sentence of the story says. It says, First Lady Michelle Obama is growing worried about poorly educated, obese black children, comparing their lifestyle-driven challenges to the Jim Crow era. Now, she's taking this very seriously. She says this is the primary problem. But did you realize that according to the Guttmacher Institute, which tracks abortions, that's the organization that determines what part of population, which ethnic groups and all that are born, 30% of all abortions in the United States are of black children.
Yeah, isn't that very sad?
And it would strike me that it would catch my attention more about the abortion issue than kids who may be overweight or, well, you know. But then again,
it does mine, but that also, yeah, it catches your attention and my attention that way, because we still maintain a scriptural perspective on this discussion, and that is that human life begins with conception, and so abortion is murder in the eyes of Scripture and in the eyes of God. I have a feeling that the First Lady comes at this from a different theological perspective, or no theological perspective, and simply looks at it in terms of, quote, women's rights,
and
unquote.
Black women in the United States are 12% of the overall population.
Isn't that
But they account
30%
for 30%. And then this also calls into question Planned Parenthood, who tends to like to put their clinics, quote-unquote, in economically challenged neighborhoods. We all know what that means, but that's how they refer to it, as economically challenged neighborhoods.
One little observation, this is not just from my wife's nursing perspective, but also from my own perspective of having done hospital visits for more than 40 years. There is a concern, a valid concern, not only about obesity in this country, but about the poorly trained adults and parents who have no understanding of proper nutrition, or simply don't have the willpower to carry it out in their own families, and choose just take the easy way out and let somebody else take care of their kids. And I'm very concerned about the dietary habits of many of our citizens, who think they can eat what they want and then end up in the hospital and, well, don't you have a magic pill that will take care of this?
Oh, yeah.
And there is no such magic pill. But you and I are paying, through our taxes, we're paying for their health care.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. If you'd like to get in, well, we're sort of on a course here, tacking along as the wind will take us. But if you want to come and change course, you're free to do so. Something else in the news, something else, question about theology. This is a great time to call in or email in. This is also, Pastor Troxell, VBS season, isn't it? I don't know if you've had that at St. Paul yet, your VBS program.
Well, we're not in a position where we can do that because the congregation is so small and the number of children is even smaller, I should explain that we have on the average of about 30 people in worship on the Sunday morning. One of the joys is that this small congregation in what some people call a dying rural community, in the last year and a half, our worship attendance has gone from between 4 and 6, I'm told, back up to about 30 per Sunday. And the individual members themselves are reaching out to other people who have drifted away in an effort to win them back and with the love of Jesus. And given the economic times we're in, these small rural congregations have a very important ministry, because to abandon these small congregations would then force people to make a choice of either joining a nearby denomination of some other stripe with some other approach to Scripture, or driving 30 or more miles to the nearby LCMS congregation. So the ministry we have here, while it might be small in numbers, is still very important.
I want to come back to the VBS discussion,
yes.
but for the moment we have, well, let me see here. I was looking at the phones. Let's see if the line is there or not. Apparently it's not. We have a little bit of trouble with our phone screening software here, Pastor Troxel. So I apologize for the confusion, but I've got a call up on my board that just is not on the phone. So what's a guy going to do? You push the button, nobody's there. What happens? So we continue with this conversation.
Okay.
And we'll see if we can get the attention of Gary or Buzz to get that straightened out for us. Here's the headline. This is the reason I bring up VBS, mm-hmm. Pastor. The headline says, "Oppressive. White Christian missionaries distribute VBS invites outside New York City public school."
Oh, my goodness. That's oppressive? An invitation is oppression?
Well, that's what they say here. They say a number of parents were uncomfortable because their children, ranging from grades 1st through 5th, being urged to do so. I mean, they're being urged to, it says, being urged to take these leaflets inviting them to VBS. And it said what resulted was a furor on the part of some who believe it's irresponsible. Can you believe it's irresponsible and improper for missionaries to be taking such actions outside of a public school?
As long as it's outside of a public school, there's nothing wrong with it. I don't think that it's permissible for us to do it inside public school or on public school property, but outside, I don't see what the hassle is. They children are receiving, quote, invitations, unquote, to all sorts of other activities.
Well, here's
outside of school, whether it's to join gangs, do drugs, what they watch on television, which may not be really appropriate for young children, or may not even be of a Christian nature. So why should our people be called oppressors?
Well, let me give you a little bit more here of the article. It says, but the criticisms went well beyond the traditional church versus state argument, as some parents even charged that the missionaries were being discriminatory because they were promoting a brand of Christianity that, get ready, is homophobic, homogeneous, and oppressive, because it was three white guys standing outside of a school that is 60% minority.
Well, golly sakes, I wonder if all three of them were LCMS pastors, because that's how some people would characterize us, and it's an illegitimate characterization, but it shows that some people have their own social agenda they want to promote by making those charges against the three men who were handing out the invitations.
It says here that a dad at the school was equally upset because, as a gay parent, the fact that the school serves a variety of children, Christian and Jewish and Muslim and Hindu and Tenrikyo and Buddhist and agnostic and atheist, these people have no business outside of the school. These are outsiders, he said, from South Carolina. Apparently what this was were some some folks came up from a congregation in South Carolina to help another Baptist church, you know, recruit for their VBS. It was sort of a, you know, like a mission trip, like someone might
mm-hmm.
into the Bronx in New York City, actually into Brooklyn, not the Bronx. And they were offended because, number one, they were, you know, perceived to be intolerant, but number two, they weren't even from the neighborhood. They were from South Carolina.
But they were representing a neighborhood congregation. They weren't inviting the children to South Carolina.
I know.
I don't see, I think it's very typical of the kind of sly persecution that the gospel is receiving, that the Word of God is receiving in our present-day culture. And Scripture warns us we're going to face that kind of intolerance in these days.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO, at KFUO.org. Now, I will tell you this, dear listeners, that we are having an issue with the phone system right now, so I give out the phone numbers because after the break, I am assured that that will be resolved. We had a couple of callers, Pastor Troxell, who were hanging on the line, but we have a bit of an issue where we're not able to get them up on the board and into the program, but we'll be able to get to them right after the bottom of the hour break. So it's all you for the next 10 minutes. How does that sound?
You and I have logged many hours on this,
we certainly,
on this connection, so it's not a problem.
We certainly have. Hey, there are other things in the news that I do want to move along to. And now, this is Friday, and what listeners know is that on Fridays, especially during Ask the Pastor, I like to go out into the news and find something that's maybe a little bit odd or quirky or whatever, because, well, heck, that's what Fridays are all about.
That's Friday, yes.
Having a little bit of fun. Here's the headline. Tell me what you think, sir. Obama better able to handle alien invasion than Romney.
Please describe alien.
alien. You knew where I was. Well, the article is talking about space aliens.
Space aliens.
Now, this is, and again, I bring this up because this is what passes A for news. This is not from some weird website somewhere. Pulled this off of all places, the Christian Post.
Really? So interesting.
So this is passing as legitimate news. And guess what? Guess who actually ran this survey?
I have no idea.
National Geographic.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, why?
And the Christian Post is quoting from National Geographic. That's interesting.
The survey was titled, Aliens Among Us, Are Movies Getting It Right?
Oh, boy. Anything to sell a magazine or a newspaper.
Perhaps. Yeah, the representative of National Geographic said, we wanted to get a sense of how Americans view UFOs, what people believe, and how mainstream pop culture may or may not be playing into their opinions about it. And it said that confidence in President Obama's ability to fight invaders from space was found in nearly every demographic, with 68% of women, 61% of men, and 68% of all respondents between ages of 18 and 64 favoring the current president.
Have they described what their sampling population was?
1,114 American respondents. In a survey.
But it doesn't say anything else about those respondents?
It says respondents, and it says May 21 to May 29 was the survey period. And the margin of error, now this is, you know, whenever you see surveys on television, political or otherwise, and they say margin of error 5% or greater, probably not a real accurate survey. This one, 2.9% margin of error. Pretty tightly controlled.
All right, but were the people surveyed, were they strictly subscribers to National Geographic?
No, that it does not say.
Okay, see, that for a sample of only about 1,000, I'd have to know a lot more about the sampling population and what the parameters of that population were. This, unfortunately, you've run into an old math major here who left love probability and statistics, and this absolutely holds no weight in my book. and besides, then we have the whole theological issue of, is there life elsewhere?
Well, that's true, and that's something that now in fairness, that is something that National Geographic has promoted I can remember as a kid, you know, my folks used to subscribe to National Geographic.
And
maybe the 1,114 respondents were all the people that are left on their circulation list.
because the
presuppositions that are you know pro science fiction and anti God are astonishing when you look at and there's no reason for them to be that way.
No, there is not, and this reminds me of what you sometimes hear on the radio, on radio talk show hosts that run between midnight and 6 a.m. and it just I do not take that seriously.
But, you know, it's a little bit of fun for a Friday morning.
It fits the program model for this morning.
Let me tell you something, though, Pastor.
Yes.
You will find people today who are into this, what they call cosplay or costume play, where they get all these kind of weird characters and sort of mythological things in the contemporary form, and these science fiction guys. They are more dedicated to what they believe than probably the average guy sitting in a pew of a Lutheran church.
Oh, absolutely, because they have spent time researching it and studying it and getting it all figured out just straight. And the average guy sitting in an LCMS pew, the last time they did much study was all ended at eighth grade with confirmation. And I'm sorry, that's a serious indictment of some of our adult worshipers, but that could be just about the truth.
Well, you know, it goes to, for example, if, you know, when the congregation you're serving now, you're serving as a, is it proper to refer to it as a vacancy pastor?
Yeah, I'm serving a, what's referred to as a non-calling or permanent vacancy. So, and they refer to me as their pastor, and my district president has named me as their pastor, and I am entitled to a vote at district convention, so I guess I'm their pastor.
Well, when they would go, because of the special circumstances of this congregation, it's a little bit different, but when the average Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation wants to call a new pastor because they've wondered it's retiring or one has become ill or whatever the circumstance may be, they need a pastor. They form usually a call committee. Now, sometimes the call committee is the board of elders, and many times other, it's, you know, a group of people from the congregation who are selected either by voters' assembly or president of the congregation or whoever it may be.
Yeah, we went. I watched that happen 3 years ago because I retired not quite 3 years ago, and I remember the process we went through in the congregation.
Now we've got about,
I was then serving.
We've got about a minute and a half here, so this is the question. How is it that if by the indictment that you just spoke, if so many people are not well studied in the scriptures and the Lutheran confessions and the things that give us our Lutheran identity, how then do you take people like that and put them on a call committee and have them judge who is or is not a good pastor?
That is the interesting challenge, isn't it?
Or do you just leave it up to God and not worry about it?
Well, the point is that ultimately, while a committee may make a recommendation or narrow a list down, ultimately it is the voters' assembly, or in some places it's almost the entire congregation, that does the actual voting on and selection of a pastor. And to get through that rigmarole, and sometimes that takes more than just one or two ballots.
Is that a theological term?
No. Well, yeah, it's a very proper theological term. How do you know you got the right man? Well, you do end up relying on the Holy Spirit, and also understand that the first guy you call may not be the person that accepts the call. I was not the first person that that my previous congregation called back in 1982. I was number four, and that's just fine because they had to go through a lot of discussion and soul searching and praying until the Lord led them to the one He wanted.
This is the Ask the Pastor Hour here on the Bible Study on KFUL Radio. Our guest is Pastor Larry Troxell from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Bowen, Illinois. We're going to get the phones fixed so you can call in during the break. Well, give us a few minutes. We'll get them up and running again. We'll be right back after these few short announcements.
One of the core values of Concordia Seminary is faithfulness. Faithfulness to the Bible and the confessions of our church. Many people in America no longer believe that there is absolute truth. They say, you have your opinion, I have mine. All roads lead to heaven. But God has revealed truth. And we teach so that Concordia Seminary graduates will find winsome ways to present the truth.
Hi, this is Rod Zwanitzer, your host for a brand new show, Book Talk, here on Worldwide KFUO, weekdays from 2:30 to 3 o'clock. We'll talk with the authors of some of the best books in Christianity, newly released books, old books, classic books, everything books. Join us for Book Talk, beginning Monday, July 9th at 2:30 p.m. here on Worldwide KFUO, 850 a.m. and streaming at kfuo.org.
Hi, this is Joni Harwell. Have you ever considered becoming a KFUO Day sponsor? It's a great way to honor your loved one's birthday, confirmation, wedding anniversary, or any special event while supporting the worldwide gospel outreach of KFUO. A day sponsorship can be paid in monthly, quarterly payments, or all at one time. Would you please prayerfully consider becoming a KFUO Day sponsor? Just call me or Mary Schmidt at 1-800-844-0524. We can help you select that special day.
How would you like to give a gift to KFUO Radio and a gift to your children at the same time? Wondering how that could be possible? Well, it's easy, and our trained staff of gift planning specialists can show you how. Many have benefited from this prudent method of estate planning, and we do all the work to set it up for you. Give us a call and find out how you can benefit KFUO Radio with your legacy gift.
Call Joan Harwell at 800-844-0524. That's 800-844-0524.
Opponents of the Obama administration's birth control mandate see a ray of hope in the Supreme Court decision upholding the health care law. Beckett Fund attorney Mark Rienzi notes that as part of the majority opinion,
Justice Ginsburg and the four more liberal members of the court wrote the following: a mandate to purchase a particular product would be unconstitutional if, for example, the edict impermissibly abridged the freedom of speech, interfered with the free exercise of religion, or infringed on a liberty interest protected by the Due Process Clause.
Rienzi says,
I think it's very heartening that it's Justice Ginsburg and the four justices usually considered the more liberal justices who are expressly making clear that even though they approve of the law as a matter of taxing policy, that doesn't mean that there aren't other problems where it infringes on religious liberty.
The Beckett Fund is challenging the birth control mandate on behalf of Colorado Christian College, Ave Maria University, Belmont Abbey College, and the Eternal Word Television Network. I'm Steve Coleman.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Visiting Australia is on my bucket list, but I'm deeply disappointed in what they've done. They've awarded Australia's highest civic honor to Peter Singer. If you don't know who Peter Singer is, you should. He's a Princeton professor of bioethics in the University Center for Human Values, of all things. He's been at the forefront of attacking innocent human life. Singer said they should do medical experiments on mentally disabled humans because they're of less value than animals. He also says humans don't reach full moral status until 2 years of age. And he equates believing humans have greater value than animals with racism. And the list goes on. For more complete details, visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org. If Australia likes Peter Singer so much, they should have kept him.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Good morning and welcome back. It's the Ask the Pastor Hour here on the Bible Study on listener-supported KFUO Radio. Our guest is Pastor Larry Troxell. You still with us, my friend?
Yes, sir.
Well, you sound better. We must have done something to the phones.
I think you rebooted the whole system.
You sound 10 years younger.
Thank you.
Now, I'm not saying how old you are to start with, but you sound 10 years younger.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Hey, let's see if the phones are working for us here. Pastor Troxell. Gary endeavored greatly to get those things going. Let's hit the magic button here and see what happens. Darlene, are you with us?
Yes, sir, I am.
Thanks be to God the phones work. Go right ahead, my friend.
Yes. I just wanted to comment on the public school and the charges and all that baloney.
Yeah.
When my son was in a public high school, they had the Ku Klux Klan passing out flyers on the kids' windshields. And I went up to the school and questioned the principal about it, and he said, oh, well, it's freedom of speech. And I said, oh, wonderful, that I can pass out flyers about my church and put it on their windshield. Oh, no, 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 that's separation of church and state. And I went to the school board, and they said the same thing. So I said to the school board, I said, oh, I see. We can promote hatred, violence, crime, and people that are generally lost, but we can't promote love and Christianity and salvation in eternity. No, no, we can't do that.
I applaud your bravery and the witness you gave.
I don't know how brave I was. I was shaking in my boots. And
well, but, yes,
I give God and the Holy Spirit the glory.
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Have a blessed weekend.
You also, Darlene. We appreciate the call. You know, Pastor Troxell, that reminds me of help me out here, because the location of the verse is slipping my mind, but there is a promise on the part of God that when we are called before kings and princes, that the words will be given to us as to what we need to say, so we don't have to worry about
such things. Jesus promised that. I believe it's in Matthew 25, but I'd have to go look.
That's it. I think you're correct. So, you know, Darlene, you can be nervous as you can be, but God goes with you.
Yes, indeed.
In these endeavors. Hey, you want another survey? This is fun for a Friday.
Sure, why not?
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. The phones are up and running. If you had departed from us for a few moments or you tried to get in, you know, Larry or Mark or all the other folks that had to sort of cycle back through the system for us, call in now. The phones are working great. Study finds religion may be heading for extinction.
Really?
Yeah, this is from Fox News.
Okay.
This is not some wacky survey organization working for National Geographic. This is a legitimate mainstream news organization, and it says parts of the world are literally losing their religion. Now, the American Physical Society, who conducted this, they claim that religion is dying out in 9 primary countries. The Czech Republic, Austria, Australia, Finland, Ireland, New Zealand, the Netherlands, and Switzerland.
Isn't that interesting?
Now, the study conducted by the University of Arizona, so again, no slack organization here doing the work, took a look at data stretching back 100 years for these countries, and they say that they find in large numbers of modern secular democracies, there's been a trend that folk are identifying themselves as not affiliated with any particular religion. This goes to, I guess, the whole spiritual but not religious thing that's throwing off of the institutional church. In the Netherlands, the number was 40%, and the highest number was in the Czech Republic, which was 60% who declare themselves non-affiliated.
Yes.
And it used to be that, you know, Christian used to at least be a default setting. You know, you weren't born a Muslim, you weren't born a Jew, you weren't born a Hindu, so by default, well, I celebrate Christmas, so I must be a Christian.
Yeah. And being Christian was equivalent with if you are a member of polite society, obviously you're a Christian, and that's not
a fine Christian gentleman, as they used to say. Yes.
I'm not at all surprised the proper understanding of what a Christian is, who a Christian is. That we are becoming a smaller and smaller minority in our world. That's happened before. At the time of our Savior's ascension, the number was down to, or up to, however you want to look at it, about 120 out of the whole world's population. And again, this is in Paul's, I believe it's second letter to Timothy, where he warns that in these latter days, people will turn away from the truth and seek out teachers who will speak whatever their itching ears want to hear. And so we have this rise of, yes, I'm spiritual, but I'm certainly not in an organized church and all that sort of thing, and people are saying they believe in angels, but they don't believe in Christ Jesus as their Savior. They believe in crystals and everything else. People are looking for some source of security and choosing either because they have never been exposed to Holy Scripture or because they're choosing to turn away from what Holy Scripture teaches, they're looking for their security in other places, which sadly does not really offer true security.
Well, what's in religion anyway? Christianity or otherwise?
Well, if you're talking, you used a term there that I really want to be careful.
Right.
What's in religion? Nothing. What's in Christianity? Everything.
Yeah, because, you know,
because religion talks about, in a sense, what I'm thinking in my own mind and what I've made up as my God, and the great American folk God is not the God of Holy Scripture.
No, that's Elvis Presley.
I hope my wife didn't hear you say that.
Well, but you know, I said that intentionally because just to recall a couple of other conversations we've had here this week, and some of the things I've done on Studio A, there is this juvenilization of the American church, and it goes back to the 1950s,
yes,
where pop culture was drawing kids out of the church, and a lot of well-meaning people showed up one day and said, you know, if we were just a little bit more like culture, like Elvis Presley, we'd bring all the kids back.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then here we are today.
And really, our Lord has promised that if we stand with Him in His Word and teach it truthfully, He is the one who will provide the growth. He is the one who will provide the next generation of the church. While the numbers of religious people worldwide may be dwindling, our Lord has promised that His church will remain until His return. Now, it may not be the largest group, it may not be the most popular group, but that group, those people who, by God's grace, stand with the Word of God in its truth and purity, will always be here on the earth until our Lord returns.
And, you know, perhaps some 60-odd years after those practices started being brought into the church, maybe it's time for a Dr. Phil moment. Maybe we should ask ourselves, how's that working out for you?
You know, I have a great deal of difficulty because I really don't watch Dr. Phil. I've heard the name, but that's about... our communication really broke down at that end.
Well, but it's not...
I think what we need and what we've found... And this was noticed over the last 10, 15 years, that the happy-clappy approach to church worked for a while, but then the younger generation wanted something that was a little more, had a little more ceremony, had a little more ritual, had a little more tradition, had some history behind it. And when you start investigating for things like that, you will come back to, ultimately, the truth of Holy Scripture.
Yeah, there have been other studies done. We talked about one that was reported out of all places, Austin, Texas. One of the local news stations in Austin about six, 7 months ago did a report on the fastest growing church among 20-somethings in Austin. The Orthodox Church.
Isn't that interesting? Yes, we've seen Orthodox. There's an Orthodox mission going here in Quincy, Illinois, and I see them all over the place. They're popping up.
And the common response to the people that had joined the church who had offered opinions to this news reporter were that it's a place different from this world. It's distinct. It's historic. It's something that transcends the here and now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have issues theologically, but on those points, I think to what you're saying, Pastor Troxell, that seems to be what the 20-somethings are looking for, is genuine, authentic church.
Genuine, authentic Christianity,
yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That still teaches Jesus Christ and the salvation that he accomplished for us by his death and resurrection.
And the interesting thing was they interviewed the priest from this Orthodox church. I think it was a Greek Orthodox church.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, look, we haven't had the conflicts that other churches and denominations have had. Well, our doctrine is pretty well set. We don't debate it. We just simply proclaim it. And it's that steadfastness, that continuity, that seems to really appeal to people.
Especially in a time when the pace of change is continually accelerating. We're not only are we bombarded by continuous change, but it's coming more and more rapidly. And in order to deal with that, you want a foundation to which you can turn. An elder of ours, of the former congregation that I served many years ago, said, when I come to church on Sunday morning, I want the same thing that's always been there, because I get hassled all through the week, and I want something I can count on. And both in Old Testament and New, God's word proclaims, I, the Lord, do not change. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's the Jesus we proclaim.
505-7850-1800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. Are you ready for another survey, Pastor?
Why not?
We're on a roll today. Here is the title of this survey. People who believe in heaven commit more crime.
You've got to flesh that one out for me a little bit. That's interesting.
This is a study from... Here's how the story opens. This is out of CBS affiliate in Seattle, Washington. Believing if you are on a highway to hell could impact whether or not you commit a crime. It says that this study was published by a scientific journal called the PL of S, which is put out by the University of Oregon. Again, no slack organization here. Mm-hmm. In conjunction with the University of Kansas, so two fine establishments of higher education. The study found out that people who believe in hell are less likely to commit a crime, while people who believe in heaven are more likely to get in trouble with the law. And here's what they nail it down to. They say that if you believe in hell, you see a consequence for your actions. If you believe in heaven, you figure you're going to get forgiven for everything anyway, so why worry about it?
Okay. I was wondering if that would not be the case. Oh. You see, we still wrestle with the same problem that has existed among us human beings ever since Adam and Eve, and that is the struggle against what is called antinomianism. Anti, against, nomos, the law. If by assuming, by presuming that God's going to forgive me no matter what I do, so I can go out and do whatever I want, you're actually committing the ultimate sin against the first commandment. You're telling God what he's going to do, and God says, I don't work that way. But there are those who have the feeling that God is just a kindly old grandfather who's going to wink at whatever I do and take me in anyway, and Scripture does not support that.
Mm.
And yet, there are those who, you know, I'm saved so I can just go ahead and do whatever I want to do.
Yeah, you see, and here's the problem with I think, studies like this, is that they eventually go into the hopper, and people who are virulent against any public expression of faith, Christianity or otherwise, use this and say, you see, this is really detrimental for culture. Why should you listen to President Matt Harrison when he speaks before Congress? Because, you see, these religious types are actually fostering a bad culture for us.
Well, I happen to know that President Matt Harrison also believes in the existence of hell and of a God who judges. And he believes that we are saved purely by grace, by the grace of God, through faith in the completed work of his Son, Jesus Christ. And he is not antinomian. President Harrison understands the proper function of both the law and the gospel. I can say that because many years ago, when he was very young, I was one of his pastors.
Really?
We've occasionally kept contact since then. But the point is, the one part of your survey that said people who believe there is a hell are less likely to commit crime?
Yes.
Those are the people who are taking Scripture seriously.
143,197 participants in the survey.
Wow, what a marvelous sampling population.
Across 67 countries.
Great, thank God for that. That's interesting, but it does show a problem of really peddling what's been referred to as cheap grace and sometimes peddling what's referred to as cheap law.
Yeah, we've talked about that on the program a couple of times.
Yes, and actually this goes back to what happened, what you talked about in the Bible study in the previous hour. How many people died because of the worship of the golden calf?
3,000.
3,000.
And that's just the first phase.
That's just the first phase, yes. And later on, when there was another rebellion against God, when he said, go in and take possession of the land, they said, no, we're too afraid to do it. He said, okay, everybody over the age of 20 will never enter the promised land because you don't believe me, but your children will. And so that's, you know, out of a population of 2 million Israelites, how many of them were over the age of 20 and they never made it into the promised land because they rebelled against God's word and promise?
Well, the number was at the time of the golden calf, there were about 2 million Israelites.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So how many of them were above the age of 20? I'd say a sizable proportion.
Sizable proportion.
So God does take sin seriously. And that's what makes the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ on our behalf so important. It's only because of him that we have forgiveness. And because he's done that for us, we really don't want to offend him by disobeying his law. And we do take hell seriously.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. I don't know about you, Pastor Troxell, but when I was a kid, there was nothing more delightful for me than to get an Oreo cookie. That was, for me, the ultimate cookie experience.
Really? Okay. I just love my grandmother's chocolate chip cookies.
Well, my grandmother couldn't bake to save her life, so I was stuck with...
you have my sympathy then.
but here's something. I don't know how many people, as they go into their July 4th, you know, time off next week or extended vacations next week or whatever it may be, maybe these Oreo cookies from Kraft Foods are a staple in your household. Maybe that's a treat that you give the kids every once in a while. AP Wire copy, Oreo cookies go gay.
Now what?
No, they are literally, Kraft Foods has gotten on board, and the picture they have here represented in the story is of an Oreo cookie with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of those filling layers, each one a different rainbow color.
Oh, the rainbow. Oh, my goodness. That is American marketing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is.
Yep.
That is, if in the business world you want to be successful at marketing, you do things to appeal to whoever's out there in the market.
And eventually people get sick of it. I am not a fan. And not a fan of pop music to start with, but I'm not a fan of this Bieber fever, Justin Bieber nonsense that was going out there. this kid was the hottest thing on the block. You couldn't get into concerts. Women were throwing themselves out of windows at him. All kinds of craziness was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Now his albums aren't selling quite so well because Bieber fever just was so pounded down the throats of people that we're starting to get sick of him.
Oh, dear.
So on one hand, maybe the gay Oreo is not a bad idea. Maybe the gay Oreo will finally be the thing that makes people so sick and tired of everything having to be gay that they start rebelling against this a little bit.
And maybe we could actually recover the actual meaning of the word gay, which has nothing to do with being homosexual.
Well, maybe if we recover the word sin first and,
Yeah, I'd vote for that.
I'd put that as a priority over the word gay because, you know, now it's just an alternative lifestyle. It's not sin.
Yeah. And the whole idea, the whole understanding of sin that it is an offense against the living God, for which a person deserves an eternity in hell, even if that person only ever committed what we would call one small sin in their life. Yeah, we've really lost the impact on that word. Whatever happened to sin? I believe some famous physicians who were psychiatrists wrote a book about that about three generations ago, and it's still true. Whatever happened to sin?
Now, you've been married how many years, Pastor Troxell?
We will celebrate our 40th wedding anniversary in August.
40th wedding anniversary. Did you ever take your wedding ring off? Or are you one of those guys that wears it all the time regardless?
Sadly, because of rheumatoid arthritis, I had to have my wedding ring cut off so it could be enlarged. And one day when I was working in my backyard raking leaves, it came off. It slipped off. We had made it too large, apparently. And so I went for, you know, we searched and searched and searched for it, never found it. So I actually had to go get a new wedding ring with my wife's approval.
Well, there's a new and improved wedding ring out there.
Oh, my, now what?
You're enjoying your Friday, are you not?
That is one of the most interesting things about this segment, the Ask the Pastor Hour. We go everywhere, and I find it totally enjoyable.
Here it is. It's the anti-cheating wedding ring.
All right.
And inscribed on the inside of the ring, that they actually etch into that ring the words taken or married. And when you wear this ring long enough, now on the inside of the ring, it's a negative, so that when you wear it long enough, it actually imprints the word taken on your finger. That way, if you're one of those guys or women who's prone to taking your wedding ring off and going into a bar somewhere,
oh my,
guess what?
Yes,
your fidelity is now secure.
That's all right. Somebody will figure out a way to tattoo over that or something.
Well, I don't know if that's more shocking than the price. It's a titanium wedding band. $550.
You know what? If a person is going to cheat, they're going to cheat regardless of how much they paid for that ring. And that ring is not going to stop them, because the old sinful nature is far more powerful than that. And fidelity is something that we learn and we practice only by the grace of God, fueled by His word and sacraments in Christ.
The things in which we put our faith. A $500 wedding ring will keep your husband from cheating.
Wrong. I was trying to figure out what sort of chastity ring that would be, but I'm not going to go there.
Yeah, well, thank you.
This is a Christian radio
station. Even though it's Friday and it's Ask the Pastor, we do have, like Dirty Harry said, man's got to know his limitations.
And I always pray that the Holy Spirit will guide what comes out of my mouth, not only during this hour, but the rest of the day as well.
Well, you have done very well. Enjoy the grandchildren being over.
We will. We are. We're going to a play place called Bonkers this afternoon, which they just thoroughly enjoy, and it'll wear them out.
Well, you know, considering what congregations do to pastors, maybe that's a great place to go.
It is. It's fun.
Pastor Larry Troxell serves at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Bowen, Illinois. Good friend of the program, great friend of the station, good all-around guy.
Oh, my.
Thank your dear wife for sharing you with us today as well.
I will, and you have a blessed vacation next week.
Thank you. I shall.
All right.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys, I'm gone for a week. I'm back live a week from this coming Monday, but new Bible studies all next week. Fear not.
Listen to the Bible
Study.
We
are with you.
Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Start your day off right with The Morning Show, Monday through Friday on KFUO Radio. Hi, I'm Randy Asbury. Join me as we start the day right with daily prayer, news and views from around the church, feeding the faith, and much more. The Morning Show, 7 to 9 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on your Lutheran radio station, AM 850 KFUO or KFUO.org.
Our mission at KFUO is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the nations. Today's internet capabilities give us that opportunity. Listeners from all over the world can follow the ministry of KFUO via Facebook, our website, Wi-Fi radios, and smartphone apps. You can listen to KFUO radio 24 hours a day, anywhere, with our on-demand programs and live audio streams. KFUO, we are where you are, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
We are where you are. KFUO Radio, Clayton, St. Louis. KFUO HD, streaming live at KFUO.org. AP Radio News. I'm Rita Foley. Chief Justice John Roberts is joking that it's a good thing he's got a trip planned to Malta in the middle of the Mediterranean after yesterday's Supreme Court vote that upheld President Obama's health care law. AP correspondent Joe Mandak says Justice Roberts did not specifically address the decision at a federal court conference in Pennsylvania when he spoke this morning.
He said very little about any of the specific cases that they're working on. Judges typically don't do that. They prefer to let the opinions speak for themselves.
The fire in the Colorado Springs area has forced tens of thousands of people to flee, and it's destroyed hundreds of homes. It's left at least one person dead. This afternoon, President Obama will tour the destruction to see it for himself. AP White House correspondent Mark Smith.
Colorado's flames have not only devoured homes, they're occupying fully half the nation's federal firefighting resources. In a roughly three-hour visit, the president will see why, viewing damaged streets of houses and meeting with state and local emergency chiefs.
George Zimmerman's going to stay in jail for a while the judge decides whether to set bond.
I'll wait the production of the evidence and then I'll be able to make a ruling.
Judge Kenneth Lester revoked Zimmerman's bond earlier this month and sent him back to jail after prosecutors told the judge that Zimmerman and his wife misled the court about how much money they had during the April bond hearing. Toyota is recalling more vehicles because they can accelerate unexpectedly. The latest recalls are Lexus SUVs, the 2010 RX450H and the RX350. The TSA is firing eight federal air marshals who are accused of drinking alcohol on the job. They were not scheduled for flight duty the day of the drinking, but they were on a training day, says the TSA. And drinking is not allowed any time they are technically on the clock. This is AP Radio News.